Welcome into Talk NSL. I'm your host, Jackson Bragman. We've got a loaded show for the people today. What is Talk NSL? Talk NSL is a show about the brand new Squash League, the National Squash League, that is going to have its first ever season starting in April, and its first ever draft coming up next week, March 1st weekend, in Nashville, Tennessee. I will be boots on the ground in Nashville, Tennessee, providing commentary for a couple exhibition matches on Friday and Saturday to show people the rules and the format of the NSL Squash League. And then on Saturday night, I will be commentating the first ever NSL draft, where 24 players will be selected for six different teams who will be picked. And we've got quite an outstanding selection of players. I believe the stat I heard was that there are 25 of the top 100 players in the world have declared for the NSL draft pool. And that we have a lot of players that aren't necessarily in the top 100 right now, but are knocking on the door and maybe aren't in the top 100 right now because they're still in college, or they are kind of about to have a breakthrough, or they're coming back from an injury or something like that. So for whatever reason, they're not, but that certainly are playing at a top 100 level. So a lot of excitement surrounding the National Squash League, and there are going to be a lot of great players in Nashville this upcoming weekend, as well as participating in the league over the course of the next several weeks, with the NSL Finals, the championship taking place at the Arlen Specter Center over the summer to crown the first ever National Squash League champions. So what is this show going to be? My name is Jackson Bragman. Once again, I'm the host of the Bragman Breakdown Podcast. You are maybe listening to this on either the Bragman Breakdown Podcast feed, you're watching this on the NSL YouTube channel, you are listening to this on the Rally Report podcast feed, perhaps. The Rally Report is a podcast hosted by my friend, my compadre, my colleague, Sean Choi, who is co-hosting this show with me. So Sean and I are going to be doing this NSL show throughout the season, taking you up to the championship at Specter Center in June. Sean had a long ago scheduled vacation. He is in Aspen, Colorado right now, and was able to join me for a segment in the middle of the show. But primarily, for the majority of this, I'm going to be flying solo today. So I just had the opportunity to speak to the owner of the Nashville Crushers, Mr. Jonathan Dyke. Jonathan Dyke is a lifelong squash fanatic. He is a co-founder of the Nashville Squash League, and he is an owner, as I said, of the Nashville Crushers, and will be serving kind of as the general manager for his team, drafting players next weekend in Nashville, who's hosting the draft. So we had a great interview with him, talking about how he got involved with NSL, talking about his love and passion for the game of squash, and then maybe a little bit of his strategy heading into next weekend as well. Then I chatted with Sean. Sean and I broke down some of the top players in the NSL player pool, and then we also did a little bit of a mock draft. So stay tuned for that. That was a lot of fun, kind of introducing and talking about in a dynamic way a lot of different players participating this weekend. And then a treat for you guys at the end is we had Virto Trani, who is a senior currently at Cornell University, not Columbia University, as I mixed up the two different Ivy Leagues that start with the C that are squash powerhouses. He plays at Cornell University for David Palmer up in Ithaca, New York, as well as Matthias Knudsen. Matthias just graduated from Drexel a little under a year ago, was a fine player for the Dragons for many years, and helped them reach a highest ranking in program history of number 5 in the country at one point. And Matthias is now killing it on the pro tour as well. So Veer and Matthias, both guys that either are currently full-time on the pro tour, or in Veer's case is going to be full-time on the pro tour in a few short weeks after he's done with his final collegiate season at Cornell. We talked to them, two young guys that are extraordinarily passionate about game of squash and about the idea of playing in the NSL. So that was a fun chat. And three fun little segments for you on episode 1 of Talk NSL. Make sure to subscribe to the net. This is, if you take one thing away from this episode, please go subscribe to the National Squash League YouTube channel. The National Squash League YouTube channel is where you will find the live streams next weekend for the Team USA versus Team World exhibition. That will be Friday afternoon/evening. I believe that's at 5 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. It's all over the NSL website and the NSL Instagram page, so check those out as well, and I'm sure it'll be scheduled on the YouTube page a day or two in advance. So the first exhibition, Team USA, it'll be Timmy Brownell, Spencer Lovejoy, who are the two player founders of the National Squash League, and two gentlemen that I'm very familiar with and have interviewed a number of times, Timmy and Spencer, as well as Andrew Douglas, a man who is killing it on the Pro Tour right now, played in the number one spot at University of Pennsylvania all 4 years during his time there and has just embarked on a full-time career as a professional squash player and won the U.S. National Championship last year. So, Dougie, Spencer, and Timmy on the U.S. side. On the world side, we have Ramit Tandon from India, Victor Kruin from France, and Yusuf Ibrahim from Princeton, all three world-class players that should be a super fun exhibition, so make sure to stay tuned for that. And then on Saturday, the NSL Draft. Once again, I will be on commentary for both those events, and they will both be streaming on the National Squash League YouTube channel, so go subscribe so you don't miss it. I probably said that same message two or three times again through the course of my other couple segments that we recorded here today. But make sure to do that. And follow me on Instagram at Bregman Breakdown Pod. Follow Sean on Instagram at The Rally Report, and follow the National Squash League on Instagram as well for more updates on all things NSL leading up to the draft next weekend. And once we embark on the season as well, and once we get things underway in April, for more updates leading up to that and beyond that. Up all the way through the championships at Spectre in June, which, by the way, as I mentioned in talking to Jonathan, went to the Spectre Center for my first time ever this past weekend for Denison University for our CSA national competition. And what a magical place that is. So if you can make it out to the finals at some point, or not at some point, in June on the date, which is on the website. So not at some point. There's one specific point when you must go. There's a date and a time. So, but if you can go to Spectre Center any other time, cool. Not as cool, though, as the NSL Finals. Right? There you go. Thank you guys for listening. And without further ado, here is the owner of the Nashville Crushers. It is the one and only Jonathan Dyke on episode one of Talk NSL. Mr. Dyke, thank you very much for taking the time and joining us this evening. And we're about a week out from the inaugural National Squash League draft, which you are going to be playing a big part of. You are an owner. You are, in a sense, a general manager of the Nashville team. And you're also a co-founder and co-owner of the National Squash Association. So thank you for coming on first and foremost. And I was hoping that you could provide some context and shed some light on your role within NSL and how you kind of got involved with the whole operation.
Yeah, sure, Jackson. Thanks for having me on. And call me Jonathan or JD. Don't call me Mr. Dyke.
That's, I got you.
Unnecessary. But yeah, thanks again for having me on. We're super, super excited. We've got the draft in a week from, right now. We'll be, in the midst of an exhibition match. The U.S. team versus the international team will be played down the street here at Montgomery Bell Academy, NBA, the all-boys school, where we've got three beautiful courts that are relatively new. And then we'll roll into a bunch of programming on Saturday, and then have another exhibition match, and then the actual draft where we'll be allocating players to teams, which will be a ton of fun, and all of that will be available through streaming services. So, my involvement is really just through being a kind of a squash fanatic, played in high school. Played in college, not on a team. I went to Vanderbilt. We had not even a club team, but messed around. And then professionally, as I worked across, 20, 30 years, played, multiple times a week, used to play competitively in Washington, D.C. in a league. So just love the game and want to introduce as many people to it as possible. So we felt like there was an opportunity to, create more value for players, so more income opportunities for players, and kind of fill out their schedule, bring in new sponsors to try to get the revenue and income potential for players up, while creating new and interesting fan experience opportunities. And so really driving the fan engagement, giving fans more access to players, more hitting time with players, more dinners with players, doing fun stuff with players, so that ultimately we can, we can grow the sport. We've got 2028 now coming up as an Olympic sport, which again, we're very enthusiastic about. And I think between now and then, the National Squash League will be very much focused on how do you grow the pie of audience, and what other sport audience is out there that we can tap into and pull them into squash, just given how fun it is to play the game and how fun it is to watch the game.
Yeah, and it's great to hear kind of that story of involvement and how it starts in early years and in high school, and that's the key. And then you've been a lifelong fan even though you didn't have an opportunity to play for a team in college, and just in your professional career, it's been a big part of it, and that's really fantastic to hear about. We need more kids starting playing squash. We need more junior programs across the country. And yeah, Timmy was telling me a little bit about it. He said you play like a madman was his quote. He said I could tell you that. So I
Okay.
would be curious to see if you maybe get on court this weekend. I look forward to that. But
Well, I had to play doubles with Timmy, and which I'm not used to, and so I think that was his madman, like crazy, not like in a good way, So and just to note, so the school where we have the squash courts in Nashville, they just sent their first team to Nationals. They won their first matches this morning, and now they're in the quarterfinals, and they'll play tomorrow morning. So, pretty exciting. The inaugural team going to the Spectra Center, like that's just we've been working on that for a long time. So it was a big day for us here in Nashville.
that's fantastic. And yeah, I mean, Spectre's it's a pretty cool place. I mean, I was there for the first time this past weekend at our college nationals, and it was, yeah, it's pretty wonderful. And obviously, yeah, growing and getting, hopefully, Nashville, Tennessee becomes the next hotbed of junior squash, and getting a high school program in there, and Dylan Cunningham running the show for you guys is fantastic. I wanted to ask you about how you got involved in NSL specifically. How did that come to be? Because you're a squash fan your whole life. Did someone reach out to you? Was it Timmy or Spencer, or was it maybe a mutual friend, or somehow you heard about this and you're like, yes, I want in. I want to be a part of this league.
So last year we did some programming in Nashville. We brought in some international players, and then we brought in Timmy and Spencer. And so they came in for an exhibition match, which was just phenomenal. I mean, those two put on a show that the crowd just loved. It was fun. It had, a competitive atmosphere, kind of a competitive match feel, but then they would do a lot of trick shots and things that, most people had never seen before. So we were able to draw in a lot of people for that match, and then they could get on the court with some of the younger players, and so that was a lot of fun. And that was last, I think, March. So March of 2023, and they were talking about a league, and I just said, look, when you guys pull some things together, I'd be happy to help you guys think through the strategy and how to get it up and running. And so that was kind of the beginning of that relationship, and then we stayed in touch, and then we were lucky enough to get Dylan Cunningham to come down to Nashville and serve as the first coach at the school. And also run kind of squash operations de facto for Nashville as we work on building additional courts. And so when the team in Louisville kind of did their beta run last season, then they were ready to go a little bit more prime time. I got involved at the league level, and then also own the team in Nashville and part owner of the team in New York. And so we're excited to have, the six teams for the first year, and there's already a ton of demand for additional teams in different cities. There's a demand to develop women's teams, which we're really excited about. And we have our NSL Next junior programming, which is really cool, and a platform, a stage for the best up and coming junior players, to get, showcased, through our programming.
Yeah, really good to hear about the growth of squash in untraditional places across the US, and how the NSL is helping facilitate that. I want to talk about a little bit about your strategy, perhaps coming up next weekend. You're going to be taking part in the draft process, at least for the Nashville team. You're going to be the head guy selecting your team. You're going to have four draft picks, and then are you helping out with the New York team as well?
So Peter Nichol is probably doing the drafting for the New York team, and my guess is he's got that totally under control, and it's game on, and he is, I think, excited to prove that he can be the big winner in the first year. So I love that level of engagement and excitement. Our squad in Nashville, we've talked a little bit about players that we would love to have, but ultimately, if you look at the group of players, best in the world coming into Nashville for the draft, and those that can't make it live, will be virtual. It's like, as they come into town, I want to spend some time with them, talk, get their level of excitement, and those that are really excited, that they kind of, in my mind, kind of float to the
Wow,
top.
interesting. Okay.
And so it's kind of like, who's really into this? And I think everyone is. I think the first year turnout from the professionals has been great. I think that'll only grow. And so, with this format, it's all about putting the team together. I don't think it's as difficult as, a college football coach dealing with the transfer portal and trying to field the team, each season. But it's certainly about what are the team dynamics and who's gonna, be really into, playing hard in these matches to then ultimately get to the Spectrum Center in June and play for the championship. So we'll see. I don't think there's any, secret sauce or AI strategy to help with this draft. I think it's all down to the human level of really just thinking about, who's into it and, who wants to be on the Nashville team.
I like that a lot. Right off the bat, before having met everyone, before any of this, in terms of what you hope for is on Friday night, there's going to be a draft lottery. We're going to have ping pong balls and we're going to select the draft order. It is a snake draft format amongst the six teams. What would be your ideal draft order, or what would you be your ideal like draft pick to have? Would you want the first pick, but then you don't get to pick again until 12, but you get a really superstar kind of player, but then you get picks 12 and 13? Or would you want maybe the sixth pick and then you get the first pick of the second round as well?
This all kind of is reminiscent to fantasy football. I don't do fantasy football anymore, but I did it for 20 years, and we did it back before there were apps, and so you had the same kind of like, process of where do you want to fall in the draft order, and so I think we don't necessarily need to have the number one pick. I think the if you look at the players, all of these players are really, really good. And so it's kind of like, again, what's going to make the best team for this format? And that's, I've been doing some research and thinking through scenarios, but I don't know for sure, if getting the number one pick makes that big of a difference. But we'll see, and that's the, and then if you do get the number one pick, it's like, do you go with the top ranked player currently on tour? Is that the best move? And that's part of the thinking that we're doing right now
Right. So many
is thinking,
factors.
thinking back to that. Now, if they were all kind of playing as individuals, then maybe you would just optimize and it would just be like rank order based on their current ranking, but it's more of this team feel and excitement behind the whole program. So then it's back to that, who's really fired up about it, and you can see that and you're like, I want that player on my team. So again, we'll see, but I think it'll be fun to be back in the draft room, a la back in the day of fantasy football, and thinking about in the excitement and the timer of having to make decisions, and then, probably being like, oh, we should have thought about it this way, but that's all the learning process because this is all relatively new.
Last thing I'm going to ask you before I let you get out of here, John, is what are you looking forward to most this weekend, and what are your kind of expectations and hopes for how the weekend runs for, I guess, not only your team, but just the whole league and the whole kind of operation over the course of Friday and Saturday and Sunday?
I think the ultimate goal for the league and for everyone involved is to have a lot of fun. And I think that's the program that we've got set up on Friday night is really fun. We've got a great dinner where owners will talk and players will talk, probably talk a little smack is my guess. We've got three singer songwriters coming in. We are in doing this in Music City, and so they're coming in. That they will unveil a song that they've written about squash, not having really ever heard much about squash. So I've heard the song, and it won't go to number one on the country charts, but it could break into the top 100. So I think that Friday night will be a lot of fun, and then I think we're gonna go out in Nashville. Saturday's all about the juniors and getting court time with the players, and I think that's just gonna be just. For me, just hanging out and watching and talking to people and networking, thinking about the future of squash. So that I think that'll be a lot of fun. And ultimately the bar for us is that people walk away from this. If they're new to squash, they're like, wow, that was cool. That was a great experience. They tell their friends. Ultimately, that drives sponsors, which drives income for players and more opportunities for us. So that's our bar, is to have this, viral effect so that everyone is talking about it and how unique it is in the squash world compared to some of the other experiences that they may have. And so we're pumped up. We spent a lot of time on the programming, a lot of time on the food and beverage. And the bar is set pretty high there, and so we're not holding back. We've spent a lot of time and energy on the production, so the streaming capabilities. And so, we'll see how that goes. It's our first time through it, but we've got a great partner coming in to really, they do work all around the country for major sports teams. So we're trying to kind of take everything to the next level. So as you can tell, we are very excited and look forward to following up with you and doing another one of these to talk about, how it went and what we learned from it.
Thank you very much, Jonathan, for the time. Best of luck this weekend assembling roster of the best four players that you possibly can, and hopefully everything runs smoothly NSL wise. And I'll see you in Nashville in 1 short week.
All right, Jackson. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, I am joined now by my trusty co-host of Talk NSL via the Zoom machine, podcasting out of Aspen, Colorado, currently by way of New York, New York, by way of Wesleyan University. He is the host of the Rally Report podcast. It is Sean Choi joining us now. I said podcast like I'm Canadian for some reason, but host of the Rally Report podcast. I like that a lot. I'm going to stick with that. It is Sean Choi. Sean, thank you for hopping on with me today. We have much to discuss.
Yeah, no, thanks for the introduction. Thanks for having me, Jackson. And I'm honestly very thrilled to be a part of this and be able to commentate with you. And hopefully, we bring the fire for
Yeah.
it.
No, it'll be great. So, yeah, I can't wait, and I'll be flying out to Nashville Friday morning. I think you will be as well, and we'll arrive a few hours in advance of that opening exhibition. Team USA, it will be the league's founders, Timmy Brownell and Spencer Lovejoy, who are accompanied by fellow Team USA member and rising star on the PSA World Tour, Andrew Douglas, a few college squash legends in there as well. And actually, on the other side, there's some college squash legends as well, as we have Youssef Ibrahim from Princeton. We have Victor Cruin from France. And who's the final player participating in the Team USA versus the world? Ramit Tandon from
Ramit
Colombia. And well,
Tandon
also, yes, initially from India, but also a Columbia graduate and played number one at Columbia for many years. So won the Ivy League title at Columbia, I believe, actually. So Ramit Tandon. So we have six college squash alumni in that exhibition on Friday night. It should be a lot of fun. And yeah, I can't wait. Then the draft will be on Saturday night, and you guys can watch those streams. Those will be both be streamed on the NSL YouTube page. So look up National Squash League on YouTube, subscribe so you don't miss it. Today we are previewing. Last week you did a wonderful preview with Timmy and Spencer, talking about the rules of the NSL, talking about how the NSL kind of came to be, and some players to keep an eye on. As the draft is coming up next week, and really did a very nice overview and preview. So anyone who hasn't seen that or listened to that should go check that out on the Rally Report YouTube page, or check it out on the Rally Report on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. But now that we're here, I want to get a little bit more in depth now that the rules have been established, now that we know everything. And I wanted to talk to you about once for even deeper some of the players that that are going to be interesting coming up next weekend. And so I have the list, the final draft pool in front of me of the top 40 players that are participating and have entered the draft pool for the NSL. Only 24 can be picked. So what I want to do is I want to do like a little mock draft with you, but we're not going to necessarily pick super teams. So we're each going to pick teams of four, but we're not going to just take the top eight players. We're going to do it as if it was kind of like a real draft. So how we're going to do it is we're each going to pick, we'll do a snake draft format. And so you and I will select. So maybe you have the first pick, I have the second pick. You'll pick whoever you want. Maybe it's Victor Cruin, maybe it's August Desourd, maybe it's Yusuf Ibrahim, maybe it's Timmy Brownell himself. And then I will make my selection, someone else at the top of my board. And then for the second round, since there are six teams to simulate that, we're going to make sure that our second round picks are not players in the top six. So anyone from seven on down, we're allowed to select at that point. Once we get to the third round, anyone from 13 down, we're allowed to select. And these rankings are via the PSA World Tour rankings. So that's what we're using, the PSA rankings as of a week or two ago. So that is the plan for this mock draft. I have an idea, and I want to beat you, Sean. I'm very competitive. So we'll put it up to the fans on the NSL Instagram page to see who is victorious and who has the better team. That all being said, we're going to do snake draft. So with that being the case, do you want to pick first or second?
Oh, Jackson, you're the host. I feel like I should give you the first pick for this
Okay,
as the
fair
host of
enough.
this channel.
Which really means he wants the 2-3 turn. He wants the next two picks, which is fair enough. So I'll go first. And this is tricky. It is a two-man race for that number one pick, because it feels like it's going to be Victor Kroon from France and Yusuf Ibrahim from Princeton as the two guys that are really contending for that number one overall pick, and two guys with extraordinarily different playing styles. Yusuf Ibrahim, very attack heavy, traditional Egyptian style player. He goes for a lot, is not scared to take the ball into the forecourt, and is immensely, immensely talented, and is very reminiscent of many of the great Egyptian squash players over the last several decades, and is a guy that's rapidly rising up the rankings. These two guys also extraordinarily young, in their early 20s. So you have Yusuf, one year fresh out of Princeton, and then you have the man that he actually played in the CSA individual championships in the finals a couple years ago now, and that is Victor Cruin, when both Victor and Yusuf were both still in their senior years at college, and they were at the time already two top 20 players in the world playing in the CSA individual championships. So we have Victor Cruin, and Victor is going to be my pick, and I'll tell you why, Sean, and we'll talk more about this next week during the draft. But I think that Victor, it was very close in my mind, because Victor is kind of the opposite of Yusuf, is he's very traditional, he's very structured, and everything about his game. And I talked about this a few moments ago in the interview that I did with Matthias Knudsen and with Virgil Trani. That's an interview that you're going to hear at the end of this show. But we were kind of talking about the different playing styles, Yusuf and Victor. And Victor is very traditional. No one in this draft hits a better straight ball than Victor Cruin, and just very high IQ player. Doesn't make a lot of errors. Doesn't hit a lot of tins. And it just is a very solid, solid player. On the other hand, Yusuf is a guy that on a power play is going to be very effective with this new set of NSL rules, and is really going to be a very immensely talented player, and is going to be a guy that's hard to stop in short bursts. If you put him out there for 5 minutes and then sub him out, he's going to be very effective. Where Victor is going to be a minutes eater, he's going to be very fit and very solid. The difference is, to me, watching the Tournament of Champions and the run that Victor went on to beat Paul Coll in that match and to beat Marouane El Shabagi, and then ultimately fall short to Ali Farag in the semifinals, is Victor has added this element to his game where he's always been very traditionally solid. But a lot of the other guys on the Pro Tour were starting to read him, and we're starting to figure out how to play against him. Victor now, it feels like, is playing looser than he ever has. It feels like he's playing more relaxed than he ever has, and he's opening the court up more than he ever has. I've never seen Victor hit as many boasts as he did at the Tournament of Champions, as many cross courts, and also just kind of like volleying more, and just everything felt so fluid and relaxed. And it doesn't look like he's playing this rigid, regimented game of squash. that he has played for so many years is he's still so effective and so solid, but he's really opening the court up now, and he's added this element of deception to his game as well. And Victor just really impressed me in New York last month, and for that reason, he is going to be my number one overall pick, slightly edging out Yusuf, Sean.
I think that's a wonderful pick. I think he hasn't been receiving a lot of love as the supposed number one pick. And I think in terms of Victor, not a lot of people realize, as you mentioned, how attacking he is. And I think just because of the typical style, people try to sum up a certain player into one category, they forget how attacking Victor can be and how well he moves the ball around. And I mean, at the end of the day, he's higher ranked and there's reason for that. And he's achieved highest world ranking of 7, and also there's a reason for that. He's been very successful. So Jackson, I agree with you. If I had the first pick, I also think I'd go with Victor, but given that I have the second pick right now, I think a lot of rumbles have been coming up that Yusuf could be in this format the best player, and I cannot not go with Yusuf if I have the second pick. I think this format especially benefits him. The idea of substitutions, if he's feeling a little weary, if his knee is not holding up that well in a certain part of the time periods, can sub him off at any time and then get him ready for the power play. And the power play of how quickly he can knock off points. I mean, I'd like to cite the Windy City Open 2 years ago, how he, on his day, I'd truly beat anyone on the tour. And yeah. He's got wins over Mohamed El-Shrabagi 3 times, and he's just such a top quality player, and I think he's on the come up of his comeback still. And I think because of that, the rankings don't reflect how good he is. But given his recent interview, where he mentioned that he is very confident that he could beat anyone, and he doesn't fear anyone on tour, and on the rankings list for this draft list, he's on the upper end of it. So I do think this league suits him, and he is no doubt in my mind the number 2 pick.
I think that's a good selection, and he is clearly number 2 because he does things with the rackets, with the squash racket that no one else in this draft pool can do, and very few people on planet Earth are capable of doing. And that upside, if he's healthy and if he's on, if he has a day, I mean, he's, you know, I think if Victor's playing, or if Victor plays his A game and Yusuf plays his A game, it feels like Yusuf beats him 7 or 8 times out of 10. I think, you know, overall, it feels like Victor probably has the edge in a traditional match format. I feel like Victor's a better player right now because of the consistency and because of how solid he is. But when Yusuf is firing on all cylinders, it's really difficult to beat. And he's up there with guys like Mazen and guys like Ferris Dasuki and Mohamed El-Shrabagi in terms of the attacking play style, where it's just hard to beat those guys when they're firing on all cylinders. So I think that's a great pick, Sean. And now we're going to go to you. And everyone is fair game, with the exception of Augusta Sword, Leo from Argentina, Ramit Tandon, and then our boy Timmy. Anyone else you can take here on the 2-3 turn?
Awesome. Jackson, before we go to the second, I do want to mention one name in the first round
that I think
might not be mentioned is Ramit Tandon. I think he's a lot of his attributes of how attacking he is. Again, I think it's a bit speculative, but for how the NSL format works, I think he could be an incredible player, and he's been kind of under the radar for the first round. But I'm very curious, especially during the exhibition next week, how they're going to utilize a player like Ramit, who's been very successful in the attacking format. So I'm very curious how he will do, and I think his name needs to be mentioned. And if there are owners out there who are thinking of who to draft in the first round pick, I think you got to give Ramit some love here, because he's an incredible player on his day.
Yeah, on his day, I mean, it's just hard to stop. And he's not a guy that's smacking the ball into the nick like Yusuf, but has such soft hands and is so good on that straight volley drop. There are a few guys better on tour than him, and a smaller guy, but quick, and a very, very talented defensive player and retriever as well. So on the flip side, is he's a guy that can play defense and can go out there and track down a whole lot of balls on the power play on the defensive end as well. So Ramit, very talented. He was my, I sent yesterday, we're not going to reveal it today. We're going to talk to, we're going to talk about our top 6 big boards. And then we each have our top 6 and then a dark horse pick that we've each utilized. And we're going to talk about it more next weekend in Nashville. And we'll probably talk about it more today as these picks keep coming. But yeah, Ramit was just number seven. He was just outside because I love the way he plays. It's so fast and it's so exciting. But there's so many talented players, in this draft pool that there were a few that were a little bit lower ranked than Ramit that I was so impressed with that I thought would be perfect for this play style. And this set of rules. So I had him just outside, but I mean, that's a great name to throw out there. And you look at these other guys, I mean, Leo Ramiglio, who's at his highest role ranking in his early 30s and is playing the best squash of his life and has done incredible things of late. And then Augusto Sord is the opposite, young up and comer and is just immensely talented and is going to be a force in the NSL as well. And then Timmy Brownell, our guy, Timmy, who as, Matias and Veer had, very kind words for Timmy in our chat a little bit earlier today. And I mean, we're just very complimentary of the way that Timmy is a tactician and can move his opponents around the court and get them tired and how relaxed and free flowing his squash is. And I couldn't agree more. Timmy's an incredibly talented player. Lefty always makes it a little bit difficult. He and Yusuf have that in common. And also what you have to take into account with Timmy when you're selecting him is he literally came up with these rules. So he's going to know them like the back of his hand better than everyone. So especially in the first or second matchup, Timmy might have a little bit of an edge in terms of tactically and helping his team out, as well as Spencer. That's something to think about maybe a little bit when you're taking these guys. So yeah, the first round is interesting. And I'm glad you said that, Sean, because it's probably good to go a little bit more in depth on these guys in the first round and some of these prospects. But as we move on to the second round, Rory Stewart is number seven here. So you can take Rory or anyone else below that top six.
Jackson, I hate to, we've been only selecting the top guys here, but I have to pick Rory, I think. I don't know if a lot of people know about him, but I think one of his claims to fame was the Commonwealth Games a couple of years ago. And I think he's one of those players who benefit very heavily. And even having spoken to him, he says there's a huge difference with him when there's a crowd and there's not a crowd. And knowing how these NSL games are going to be set up, I think there will be rowdy crowds. There's going to be people who might not be aware of how squash works. And I think that helps a player like Rory, who actually pushes to the limit and something that a lot of these players might struggle with, who are in the 40 to 80 range in the Challenger Tours, where they go to these events and only have four or five spectators in the film. It's like, who am I playing for here? I mean, so I think, again, in terms of, if we're speaking on the NSL formatting and how they're encouraging fans to be rowdy, encouraging fans to be there, I do think a player like Rory is a must have with how balanced he is as both attacking and how well balanced defensively he is, and also his incredible reach. He's an incredibly tall player, and even right now in his result, he just beat Dimitri Steinmann in five in the Windy City Open. So he's on a good stretch right now, and I think he's someone to, if on a team-based format, he's someone you should have on your team.
Right. I think it's a great pick, and a big towering Scotsman, obviously standing at around 6'3", 6'4", and is going to be very effective attacking, taking the ball to the front as well, like many of his compadres in this draft pool, and is going to be effective on the volley, and is an immensely talented player and is a fun personality. And you had a great chat with him on the Rally Report recently. And yeah, I think Rory is a very fine pick there. And I'm going to mix it up here. I'm not going to go with number eight, Shah Jahan Khan, who's one of the top U.S. pros, the number two pro from the U.S. right now. I'm looking at this board here. I think Vargas from Colombia is very interesting. The current Trinity alumni, former member of the Trinity squash team back in the day of that 2013 team that kind of, he was a freshman on that team that avenged, the loss of their winning streak in 2012 when they finally lost their first match in over a decade, and then ultimately came back and won the national championship the year after, and is a story member of that program, and now a decade later is playing the best squash of his career on the pro tour. So it's been really good to see Vargas's rise, and I think he's interesting. I think Andrew Douglas is fascinating, young guy that played number one for Gilly Lane at Penn for 4 years and is an immensely talented player as well. I'm going to go, however, with Charlie Lee from England. Charlie Lee is going to be someone where I already have Victor, who's a more defensive player, but has added some attacking elements to his game. And I'm also going to go with Charlie Lee, who's going to be a very defensive player. I've watched Charlie Lee play a lot, I would say the last 6 months. Before that, he was not really super duper on my radar. I knew the name, but I hadn't seen him play much, and I've been uber impressed by his game. And I think what's so interesting about Charlie Lee is he seldom volleys the ball. He's not one to volley. He's not ever one to take it in short earlier than what is expected. He's not one to shoot, but he is so unbelievably fit, and he's such a talented line hitter, and he's so tactically intelligent in terms of knowing when to go cross court, when to go straight. But it's a lot of straight line hitting, and it's a lot of very good straight line hitting. As Timmy and Spencer would say, outstanding techers, some of the best technique that you'll see on the PSA World Tour, and he's bringing that to the National Squash League. So for a solid foundational guy that's going to be a defensive minutes eater, I think that Charlie Lee's going to be fantastic. Scored a big upset a few months ago over Mohamed Elshabagi as well, and is very competitive with a lot of those guys in the top 10 in the world rankings. So Charlie Lee, the reason he's actually ranked so low, if you really look at it, is he's only played four tournaments so far this season. So his point average is a little bit out of whack. But really, his form is really he's in top 40, top 30 even form right now. But I feel like that's a little bit of a steal for me because his ranking is not necessarily reflective of where he should be. So that's going to be my pick,
That's
in the
a
second
great
round
pick.
here.
That's a great pick. I think the one concern I wanted to mention for people who don't, as you mentioned about his tournaments, he's actually coming off an injury. So
Right.
it'll be interesting to see how some players come back stronger off an injury. Some players you might be a little hesitant to pick because they're coming off an injury. And I think he's one of those gamble the picks because we know, as you mentioned on it, when he's in a form right now, I mean, his ranking has dipped because of the inability to play for these past couple months, but it could be a very much so a steal of a pick, considering we know how high he has reached in the rankings as well. So great pick, I think, Jackson. One name in the second round that I do think also that we need to mention is Todd Herity. I think he's someone that might have slipped up in the rankings this past year, hasn't been that present, and we might have thought that he's kind of fallen off. But you know, even a week ago, I don't think I would. A week or two ago, I don't think I would have mentioned his name, but given his recent form and his recent interview he's done with PSA, I think it's we need to give him some recognition here. He's had wins over Omar Mossad, Ian Yao this week, and he's on the come up. He was on the interview saying he took a couple months off squash just to get a little mental break and mental clarity of why he wants to play this sport, and he's very much so rejuvenated to play and enjoys and loves the sport. So I'm very fascinated to, you know, as a Team USA player to have him back on the trail. And I think those young USA players need a little motivation by the old guns out there. So I think Todd Herity, probably one of the most established US players in the men's side. So incredible. I think if you're an owner out there, Todd Herity is also an incredible second round pick.
3-0 upset for Herity in round one of the Windy City Open earlier this week before falling to the Frenchman Baptiste Missati in round two. But like you said, I mean, just this past month, another 3-0 victory over Omar Mossad as well, and then put up a good fight against Yusuf Salomon. So it's I mean, obviously an immensely talented player and a guy that's been kicking it on the PSA tour for a while, Princeton alumni, and is probably nearing sort of, kind of, I don't want to speak for him. You'd have to imagine, given his age, is beginning to near the end of his PSA career, but a total stand-up individual as well, and is, you know, couldn't be a better guy. And in the very brief interactions that I've had with him years ago, and just hearing word of mouth, is one of the fairest, you know, most down-to-earth good guys on tour. So yeah, absolutely, couldn't agree more. And yeah, to that point on Charlie Lee, more than fair. But I just think that him at his peak is just, I mean, there's so much upside there as a defensive player, and then soft hands to the front, but is really going to be probably the number one guy that you think of in this draft when you think of bona fide, staunch defensive, really strong player. So I'm happy to have him on my team, and now I have two more defensive minded players. I need to get some attacking in here now. So what I'm going to do is, looking at these next six, and I guess it doesn't have to be 13 through 18, it could be anywhere, but I don't have to go far, as I'm actually going to go chalk, and I'm going to go with Simon Herbert, who's actually the guy I did have number six on my big board. He's 13 here. So I'm going to take Simon at 22 years old. Simon Herbert is lighting up the PSA World Tour is putting people on notice. And last night, what did it for me is I'd heard rumblings, and the Motor City Open was in Detroit about 2 or 3 weeks ago now, and which is obviously 5 minutes from my house. I grew up my whole life going to the Motor City Open. Now I'm away at college this year. Denison, this is my first year that I have not gone to the Motor City Open. But I was talking to my coach this past weekend from back home, and he said he had a long chat with Simon Herbert, and watching his game, that he loved Simon, and my coach Julian played at a top 40 level in the world, and him and I are very close, and he's like, yeah, this Simon Herbert guy is the real deal. He's 22. He has the right mindset. He's a great personality. He's a great guy, and he's going to go very far. And I watched his match, and I'm like, okay, sorted that away in the back of my head. And I watched his match in Houston this past week against Kareem Al-Hamami, and what an effort by him. And ultimately, Hamami was too strong in the fifth game. And I think you could see the lack of experience there for Herbert, as mentally he was kind of phasing in and out through that fifth game. And Hamami earned the win, and he didn't. But when you look at the talent of a guy like Simon Herbert and how young he is and how you know he's going to mature and you know how he's going to develop his game, I think the upside is too good to pass up on. Here in the third round, if a team can get Simon Herbert in the third round, that's going to be outstanding value. A very attack-heavy player, foreign Englishman, does not like the straight drive. He likes to mix it up. You're not going to see him hit more than two or three straight drives in a row. He's going to hit the ball cross court. He's going to mix in some boasts, and he is a guy, unlike most Englishmen, who a lot of Englishmen like a James Willstrop, like a Nick Matthew, like a Charlie Lee, they're going to want to take the ball in short, and they have very soft hands, and they hit picture perfect straight drops to the front. Simon Herbert likes to flatten the ball. Simon Herbert is going to attack. He is going to hit the ball with pace into the forecourt, and it makes for some very exciting squash. And you're going to see a lot of nicks off serve returns with Simon Herbert, and you're going to see just a very fun attack heavy game, which is not necessarily what most expect from an Englishman. And very entertaining to watch, and immensely talented. And I'm feeling good about my team right now, Sean, because I have the defense and I have the attacking. I'm getting a good balance going here.
I think that's an incredible pick. I think I could be incorrect on this, but I also think he's a part of the Rob Owen camp now, Simon Herbert.
I didn't
So
know that. That explains a
that
lot.
could
There
be
you
a
go.
huge tactic. I mean, if I'm
Wow.
incorrect on that, please, guys, call me out for it. But that's what I have heard in the rumbles. But wow, that was going to be my pick. I thought you wouldn't catch on to him, but it's such a bummer you did. So now looking back on my board, I think I have to go with Bernat Jaume from Spain. This is number two player from Spain. In terms of as a competitor, throwing him in a setting like this with, again, crowd, team-based, having your team playing for your team, I think Bernat Jaume is an incredible player. I think he's coming off a 15K win in PSA Challenger Tour in December. He's coming off a very strong season, and he's been chipping away for these past couple of years, and I think he's someone who's incredibly funny to have on your team for team morale. I think he's incredible to have. And in terms of balance of attacking and defensive work, as I have Yusuf, I don't really think I need more attacking players on my team. I just need a well-balanced team now. So I think he could serve as both a minutes eater and also a power play player. So Bernat Jaume, I think, would have to be my pick for the third round.
Yeah, I think something to note here too, and you mentioned Yusuf, is the question is for my number one overall pick, is do you want someone that's very solid? And Yusuf is a very solid all-around player. He just happens to be exceptional attacking. But then for me, my thought was, well, let me get Victor, and then I'm gonna go in the later rounds and get guys that I know can attack and might not, if you leave them out there for 12, 15 minutes, might not be as effective, but are guys that are going to be able to, in short spurts, be able to attack the heck out of the squash ball. So that's where a pick like Simon Herbert comes in, and I feel like kind of specialists later on, but you want a foundationally strong player, perhaps at the top. Not to suggest that any of these players don't have that, but some obviously do it at a higher level than others. And that's kind of where you were leaning, Victor, early as well, I think. And we're looking at Bernard. I mean, I'm not too familiar with his game. I'm not gonna lie. I haven't seen him play a whole ton, but obviously is one of the top Spanish players in the world currently. And the Spanish, one thing that I can say confidently about the Spaniards is they are tough SOBs. So you know that that Bernard is gonna have a great season in the NSL. He will certainly be drafted, and wherever he goes, you know, it's that team is going to be very lucky to have him. It sounds like from morale standpoint, and then from an on-court standpoint as well. And then kind of just talking about some of these other players in these rounds is, you know, Tom Walsh from England has been around for a while and is obviously a very strong player as well. Spencer Lovejoy, one of the founders of the league, and Spencer, the former Yale Bulldog, now kind of reaching his prime on the PSA World Tour. You could see him playing some outrageous squash here because A, like Timmy, he knows the rules better than anyone. And B, it feels like Spencer is kind of building and building and building. It feels like he's about to have a breakthrough on the PSA Tour while simultaneously will be playing National Squash League matchups coming up here. So that could be something interesting to see as well.
That's fantastic. You mentioned Spencer. I mean, he's the founder of the league, and we might not be talking a lot about him considering his name's already been thrown out a lot. But I mean, U.S. Nationals, he beat Timmy last year, and that's not a long time ago. And I think he's someone in terms of defensive play, it could be a must have on your team. And I think even having Timmy and Spencer on, they were mentioning how Spencer seemed to be more adept to the NSL league and how Timmy got an ass whooping off of it in the first round of it. So I think Spencer is someone that you should have as a founder of the league. He knows the rule book from back in any sneaky leeways he might know. So please keep him in mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then we're going to move on to round four. And this is where you might go for some flyers here. There's a lot of very talented players in this group, Sean. So it's back to you on the 3-4 turn here.
I had a lot of names for this, honestly. I think I wrote down 4 to 5 other rounds. I think I had two, three, but for this round, I had 4 to 5 players that I think kind of slip under the radar and I think are incredible players, but I had to go. I'm happy to go into the other players as well after I mentioned this pick, but I have to go with Veer Chitrani. He was also mentioned by Spencer as well as someone who should be a high quality player in terms of attacking, incredibly attacking player, but also very well balanced. I think through his time with David Palmer at Cornell right now in his senior year, I think he's kind of mastered both playing styles, and his ranking right now does not do justice. He's in his final season of college, and he's going to be one of those classic tropes of college players immediately ruining the PSA rankings because they weren't playing consistently for the 4 years, and then out of nowhere they're just committed to the PSA. And I think he's going to be one of those guys with very much so upwards trajectory, and he's someone that a lot of players are already keeping tabs on with his and his passion for the game. And if you've spoken to him, you know he's committed to making far in the rankings. And I think that's a big thing for these squash players. How committed are they? How willing are they to move up the rankings? And if you want to talk about passion, I think Veer has got to be one of those players. So I have to go with him. And also he's very familiar with team-based format. So it'd be lovely to see him balance that out for me.
Yeah. And in talking to Veer earlier, It was really good to chat with him and get some insight on something on the NSL website. Is if you go to nslsport.com, you'll see that Timmy and Spencer have drafted up nicknames and bios for all the different players. And Veer's nickname is the Encyclopedia, which I got a kick out of. Obviously, goes to Cornell, which I mistakenly said he went to Columbia in the interview, and he quickly corrected me. Which was good, and obviously is that up in Ithaca, New York, playing for the Columbia Big Red, for the Columbia, I did it again, for the Cornell Big Red. And so, but he was the Encyclopedia, and I thought, oh, I guess an Ivy League school, maybe, I don't know if he's a smart guy, it has something to do with that. And, but he shared the story of that back in junior squash, that Sourav Gosal, who was playing pro at the time, and Veer was kind of this up and coming junior, and Veer knew every single result of every tournament or every match or every player. He always knew the score, and he knew who beat who, and he watched everything, and he really followed the results really closely. And so Sourav Gosal deemed him the squash encyclopedia. So I had no idea about that. And then Veer saw the encyclopedia on the NSL website. He didn't know how it got there. And then we came to the conclusion when we were on the Zoom together that it was probably his good buddy, Ramit Tandon, who maybe spilled the beans to Timmy and Spencer, which is an exceptional nickname. And yeah, like you said, I mean, I've had the opportunity to watch Veer play a couple times, not in person, but just on live stream this year against David Costales, who's the number one for Harvard, and then the number one for University of Pennsylvania Salman Khalil, which, to be fair, it was Salman's first ever college squash match. He's a freshman from Egypt and an uber talented freshman at that, but got a bit of a chopping from Vier in that first matchup, and then in that second match against Costales, came out with I believe a 3-1 victory and looked really sharp doing it against Costales, who's a South American, just really consistent, very solid player, and pushed Mohamed Sharaf to 5 games, and Costales, a guy that played like 5 or 6 for Harvard last year and has shot up the ladder. Marwan Tarek graduated, George Crown graduated, and now Costales has really raised his level a lot, and he's playing number one for Harvard. So that was an impressive win for Veer. He is the favorite to win individuals this year for CSA, and once he fully commits his time to the PSA World Tour with his level, I mean, it feels like right now, if had he been playing PSA events over the course of the last year, he would certainly be in the top 50 right now. So it's just a matter of time, and it's just a matter of getting that point average up and getting more tournaments under his belt. So Veer Chitrani and I are a name to for everyone to keep their eyes on as the NSL draft is less than a week away now. And then that leaves me with my final pick for continuity here. I feel like out of respect to the two gentlemen that we had on the podcast later today, I think I'm going to have to go with Matthias Knudsen. Matthias, who's kind of taken the squash world by storm recently with some of his trick shots, had an outstanding one that I opened the interview chatting with Matthias about this. Sean, I don't know if you saw the recent one with Miguel Rodriguez, which is just unbelievable. And he said, oh, yeah, it took them like 20 minutes. We left the phone recording, and he made it sound like 20 minutes was an eternity, when in reality that it could have been hours on court before if it were you or I in that position, I think we probably would have given it a go for 20 minutes and given up, because we wouldn't have been particularly close. But yeah, I mean, obviously, like, just really fun stuff, and he's kind of bringing that new spin to the PSA World Tour, which has been great. And he's the perfect player to have in NSL, attack heavy. Like we've mentioned, is a guy that is going for the nick, likes to flatten the ball, as he's not going to feather the ball into the forecourt, and he's a bit of a kamikaze style player. He really is just going to go for it every single time, and it's the type of guy I want to have on my team. So I feel like I started out with two foundational, really strong players, and then we get two very attacking heavy, really solid attacking players to kind of balance out the needs for my team. So I'm pretty happy with my draft, Sean. How do you feel? And we can also touch on after that some of these later players that might be sleepers, kind of once we get past the top 20 on the board here.
Yeah, no, I'm also very happy with my team. I think I have two very more so attacking focused players in Yusuf and Veer, and I think I have Rory and Bernard, who are both well balanced. I think ultimately I am favoring players who can also attack on their day, just in case if I need any of these players to step up on the power plays. And I think that's such a huge component of how this format is set up and how beneficial it could be to winning these games. So that was the thought process behind my team. But yeah, Yusuf, Veer will take care of the attacking. And then I have Rory and Bernat, who could do both, was the idea behind it. Yeah,
and then looking at this board here, I mean, yeah, and I'm not sorry to cut you off, Sean. I think we're going in a similar direction. I mean, who are some other names that kind of stand out to you here? Because we have 40 names here, and all of these guys, a lot of these guys are guys that are in their senior year of college right now, or have recently graduated from various teams in the CSA. And then we also have just a lot of PSA guys that are kind of lower down the rankings, but have a lot of potential, and that's the reason that they were asked to participate this year. So, I mean, who are some names that stand out to you that are maybe worthy of being drafted or maybe worth a flyer in the fourth round?
I think one player that is not in the PSA right now that I think should be heavily considered that might not be on your radar is Sam Sherrill. I think he was a part of probably the best team the college squash team has ever constructed, on the Harvard team that pretty much dominated for a 3-year span in the past 5 years. And I think he's played an integral role in that. And I think during Timmy's time, where Timmy played 5 or 6, Sam was playing 3. Sam Sherrill was an incredible player. And I think also his claim to fame is actually he was probably one of the few players who was able to beat Mustafa Assal in the junior days. And I think that needs to be noted as well. And probably one of the most talented US juniors to come out of the program, and incredibly
really a dogfighter who will, you know, fight for every point and also incredibly attacking with his backhand. The touch he has on that side is incredible. And he's someone that is such a shame to the squash world that has lost not to be part of the PSA tour, but I think he's a name that should be heavily mentioned. And I think there isn't much of a gap between the level he was playing at in college versus a lot of these top 100 players. And given that maybe fitness isn't the biggest component in how this league format works, I think he could be incredibly beneficial for your team. That'd be one player that is not on the rankings that I think should be given some love. One player on the rankings is actually Sanjay Jiva, who's been working with Rodney Martin, who's been, if you look at his recent results, I actually think he should be one to look out for in the PSA season as well. It's actually pretty scary how fast he's moving up the rankings. And talk about attacking. He is all out attacking. He's the definition of attacking. So it's really cool to see the type of flair he brings to the game and the passion he has for the game. It's scary how passionate he is about the game. So I think he's someone that deserves some recognition as well, whom you might think maybe is kind of a gamble on your picks and who could pay off. So those would be the two names that I wanted to throw out there for sleeper picks.
Couldn't agree more. Just looking at the board, and I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, there are a lot of unfamiliar names that I look forward to getting to know as the season comes on here. But I mean, just some that stand out is Dylan Huang, who had a very successful career at University of Pennsylvania and was a part of that 2022 Ivy League championship team, playing a pivotal role. And he was a big part of the ascent of that program over the last half decade, who's really gone to new heights and has gone from a team that's perennially kind of in that 9 to 10 range on the cusp of maybe making the top eight playoffs to now a team that over the last 3 or 4 years has been competing for a national championship and has a good chance to do it again this year. So I think Dylan Huang is an interesting American to keep our eyes on. Mark Brokman, who I think is kind of not a full-time PSA guy, but is someone that has been a part of this NSL project from the jump, played in the beta exhibition match last year and played in the first ever NSL format like style official match. And so I think he's someone that's going to know the rules and is just a great guy and a very passionate, kind of fun individual who's doing some coaching now in Virginia at the high school level and is doing a little playing on the side, but immensely talented, big dude. So I think he's someone to keep your eyes on as well. I mean, Nick Cerna, who's playing number one for Drexel right now, he took over for Matias, and Matias was in that spot last year, playing for John White at Drexel right now. And I mean, yeah, Cerna is just killing it. I actually had the opportunity to go and see him play in person last week when I was in Philadelphia for the CSA Nationals, and Harvard was playing Drexel, and he lost out in a close four gamer to David Costales, but it was quite the battle, and it was a fun match to watch. So I think Cerna is definitely someone to keep your eyes on. You mentioned Sam Sherrill, who I 100% agree with. And the one name that is interesting that I'm surprised to see on here, and my guess is he won't be drafted, but I think I would be really happy. I think is probably has top 24 upside on here. And I think I would try to find a way to take him if I was one of these owners, is Sam Todd, because Sam Todd is a guy that every step of the way throughout his junior career was pretty much the best junior of the world. Well, it was pretty much the best junior in the world for years and years and years. Gets the PSA World Tour, achieves a highest world ranking of, I believe, 66, 67 at an extraordinarily young age, and kind of put down the racket for a little while. I think perhaps it's a lot to deal with that, the ebbs and flows of being the best junior squash player of the last decade, and then kind of reaching the PSA World Tour, finding some success immediately, and the pressure and the it's just an interesting position to be in. And he kind of stepped away for a little bit. To my knowledge, hasn't really been playing many PSA events of late. And maybe Sean has a little bit more insight on this, but
yeah, he's coming off an injury.
So, oh, okay.
Also a great pick. I think he's
so talented and such a great guy, it seems like, as well, just watching interviews. And I mean, so, but yeah, I actually didn't know that. So I'm glad you jumped in there, Sean.
Yeah. So yeah, if anyone's out there, he should also be someone you should really heavily consider, because he's coming off injury. We know what level he can play at. And I'm a big believer that players come back incredibly rejuvenated off an injury and have a different perspective of the game. And it's actually sometimes a good thing to step away from the game. So for players like Charlie Lee and Sam Todd, actually could be the better picks for you to have on your team. So great shout, Jackson. I think he's someone that might have flew under the radar with similar Sam names on the bottom of the draft. But let's make sure we clarify that there are two very separate but really good players down there.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a little mock draft for you. We'll be in Nashville next week. Come buy tickets. You can buy tickets on nslsport.com. So buy some tickets. Come say hi to us. We'd love to chat with you. If you have any feedback for us, please reach out to us on social media at Bragman Breakdown Pod. Is it just at Rally Report, or is that at The Rally Report?
The Rally Report.
At The Rally Report.
Yeah,
reach out to the NSL Instagram account as well if you have any questions or things that you want us to talk about in the future.
Guys, yeah, I mean, one last anecdote that I wanted to share, Jackson, is that I think also we might have not been familiar with what this was a month or two ago, and now that we've very much so familiarized ourselves, when there's something new to the sport, I think we naturally feel hesitant and skeptical about it. And in this case, the NSL represents that. And I think what we really originally know about squash, it kind of changes everything from formatting, how it's team-based. And I do think as fans, we need to give this league a fair shot. I don't think these top players just signed up for sake of slapping their names on it. I think they're bought into it. And also Spencer and Timmy are the founder, are pretty much spearheading this whole thing. They're actually PSA players. They looked at problems in the PSA and how can we combat this. And also the format, I think, is really fun. It's not just going to be a one-off exhibition match where we just see something and then realize, oh, it's never here again. They're going to do a full season of this. So you're going to pick up on what this is. And they did a pilot program of one match last year, and it was hugely successful. So I really do think it deserves a fair
shout
shot.
Shout out Louisville Boat Club last year.
But yeah, that's all I wanted to share for that. In terms
of... Thank you, Sean. No, and I'm really glad you said that, and I 100% agree. My idol and my hero in broadcasting is a guy named Ryan Russillo, and has so much wisdom kind of about sports, and he always is just so well-informed, and I'm a big fan of his, but he always says, anytime something changes in sports, if it's a rule change or if it's a new league or if it's a new player with a sort of style that we've never seen before and things just change so abruptly and we're not ready for that adjustment, everyone initially, right off the bat, their instinct is to hate it. No one likes that. I will say, as you indicated, Sean, I think this is a project that is worth at least giving a shot. Tune into the exhibition, tune into the draft, tune into that first match, and I think you're going to be hooked. And if you're not, that's okay. But the majority of people that do lay their eyes on this product are going to fall in love. And I think it's just a matter of getting eyeballs on this league. And I could not agree more. And I think it's something that I've been talking to Timmy and Spencer about for the last year, and something that I wouldn't say I was by any stretch skeptical, because I knew Timmy and Spencer would do it the right way. And I knew they would find the investors and make it professional, but I was pleasantly surprised when they showed me various pictures and videos and told me about the venue of the draft and how this is all coming together and how really professionally done it has been. As this is not some podunk side little thing going on in the world of squash. This is the future of squash. Not to say that this is that the PSA and the NSL are not going to coexist as they are, and there's a place for both of these leagues. Absolutely, I 100% believe that. But I think it adds an extra element to the game of squash, and adds an extra element to professional squash that has been lacking in years prior. And I think that hopefully this league not only is successful, but also enhances, just it grows squash as a sport and gets more eyeballs on PSA as well. Excuse me. That's the goal. So we couldn't be more excited. We'll be in Nashville, and it'll be a great time. So Sean, thanks for hopping on here, and we'll get to our interview now with Matthias Knudsen and Veer Tritrani. All right, I am now joined by two very special guests. We have with us today Veer, the Encyclopedia Tritrani, one of the great players in college squash today, and then one of the great players in college squash last year, and a guy that is killing it on the PSA World Tour right now. It is Matthias Spinbender Knudsen. And gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time today. Veer, probably the favorite twin individuals at the CSA individual competition this year. And then we have Matthias, who is lighting social media on fire with is the king of the trick shot, I think is safe to say. And I saw saw a clip a couple weeks ago where the two greatest squash trick shots I've ever seen took place back in back-to-back weeks, as we saw Ali Abu Alain and Yusuf, and they did their at the Penn courts, they did their off the back wall between the legs, and Yusuf with the finish. And then Matias saw that. He knows that the crown has been taken away from him, that's the number one now. He had to take it back. So you and Miguel went out last week and you had that unbelievable trick shot with the same racket. So I mean, can you tell us a little bit about that and that, how that came to be? And then that's on your Instagram if people want to check that out, I think.
No, I mean, first of all, like, thank you for the compliment. Like, I've been,
of course, man, absolutely
on the tricks and everything, but with Miguel, which is awesome, just because I had this vision of like trying to bring something else to like something different to the tour. And I've always liked like spending a little time on court, like doing weird stuff. I've never been too big of a like straight drive type of guy, so like I just wanted to put it together and show people around the world like what I'm into in squash and why I like it so much. And it started just like getting a little bigger and bigger every time, to a point where like it convinced Miguel to do it. And I was like, Miguel, listen, like, I've been doing these trick shots. I've had like some decent like views of like people are liking it. You know, would you be down to join? And we were training a couple of times in Bogota when I was there, and he was like, yeah, let's do it. So one day, it was actually brutal because he wanted to play a practice match. So we played a match. I was like super tired, as you could expect, you would imagine. And then after that, he was like, all right, let's do it. Like, let's do it. And I was like, okay, I had an idea in mind. I had it all, like, I had thought about it for a long time just because I wanted to be ready. So obviously he agreed to it. So I wanted to be like very ready for it. And we just started going, and it took us like, it's crazy, but we left the phone recording for like 20 minutes straight until we got it. And then when we got it, I was just like in disbelief. I was like, oh, thank God we got it. But yeah, it was awesome.
It is, right. No, that's great. And I love it. And I think that's kind of what NSL is about, is bringing a lot of these players in that are exciting, that are as young as you guys, both in your early 20s, both far from your primes, and kind of bringing a certain excitement to the league. And so in regards to CSA right now, Veer is rocking the Columbia shirt. He's got Team Nationals coming up in just over a week. Oh, did I say Columbia? I can't believe
it.
The Cornell Big Red. He's got the Big Red. Okay. He's got the Big Red shirt on there. That's a bad goof for me. The Cornell Big Red, and Veer is headed to Team Nationals coming up in a couple of weeks, and then he's got individuals the week after that. Veer, how are you feeling, and how are you getting ready for? It's such an exciting time. We have the NSL draft, but in your world, I mean, this is the culmination of 4 years with David Palmer and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for the Cornell Big Red. So how are you getting ready for these upcoming 2 weekends here?
Yeah, firstly, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
It's been an amazing season for me so far. I haven't lost a match yet, which feels really good. And next 2 weekends are really important, especially the one in 2 weekends, which is the individuals, which has been my goal since last year, losing out in the semis. I can't believe it's so close, and I'm preparing well. I'm training hard. I'm looking after myself, and I'm just excited. It's my last one, and I hope I can go all the way.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on, and it's a pleasure to be chatting with two guys that are not necessarily at their peak rankings right now, but are really both playing at a top 50 level, and it's a matter of time before the PSA rankings reflect that. And NSL coming up here, the draft is a week from tomorrow. We're recording this on Friday, February 23rd. Not sure exactly when this will be uploaded. It'll be up in the next 48 hours, but obviously a lot of excitement surrounding the NSL and what Timmy and Spencer have built, along with the various owners and Fernando, who's the CEO, and all these different moving parts have come together to create this awesome American league style opportunity for you guys. So I wanted to ask you guys, how did you first hear about NSL? How did you get involved? Did you get a call from Timmy or Spencer or someone else saying, hey, are you interested in joining? And then what about the NSL excited you guys and made you pumped up to kind of potentially say, yeah, this is something I want to do and devote my time and energy to?
I mean, I think for me, I can't really remember how I got into it in the beginning, but I've always been quite close with Spencer and Timmy, so I'm sure I heard it from them. But I was interested like straight away. I'm all for new ways to improve squash. I love when squash grows as a sport. is a sport that has gotten me to where I am right now, and hopefully will take me even further. So I'm just incredibly thankful and happy that I have like have this experience like coming up, you know, like it's so fun to see like a new type of squash being played. It's so fun to like bring show to the squash, you know, because I feel like squash was missed or like normally misses out a little bit on that show factor that a lot of sports have, which is why it's tough to promote to different people. You know, you see videos online of people playing squash and it's very hard to truly appreciate how hard it is because not enough people know about what's going on. So I feel like the NSL is absolutely perfect for that because it'll bring the like the power play, it'll bring like the best players in the world together battling for like a couple of minutes and then going through substitutions, like just a completely new way of playing squash that I think is great for the sport, and I'm extremely like happy that I get to be a part of it.
Yeah, for me, I actually got a text from Timmy, I think, Timmy or Spencer, one of them, asking me if I was interested, and I was like, yes, 100%. Like Matthias said, anything that's going to help squash grow, I'm very happy to be a part of. And yeah, it's a very unique format, and it sounds really exciting with, like he said, all the substitutions and power play, and it's going to be a free-flowing attacking, you know, it's really fun for the audience. And yeah, just to be a part of a group with so many great players is just really amazing for me. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you guys are both free-flowing, attack-heavy players, obviously, and guys that like to go for a lot. And like Matthias kind of said, neither of you are and Vera is a little bit more so, but neither of you guys are really traditional straight-line hitters every shot, and you guys do like to attack and get a little bit funky with it. So how do you guys think your style specifically factors into the NSL rule set that has been laid out? And if for those who are unaware, I'm not going to go through all of the rules now, but Sean Choi on the Rally Report podcast did a show last week with Timmy and Spencer kind of explaining the rules and explaining the format of how NSL is going to go, and I'm sure you guys are largely familiar with how that's set up. So how do you guys think that your skill set kind of factors into this style of play?
So I think for me it suits me, I think, quite well. As you said, like I love going for shots, I love attacking, I love hitting the nick, you know, I love having fun, good shots. So I think my style could be utilized for like the right teams, you know, just because every team is going to need someone to use the power play with, is going to need someone that can rack up points, and I think that would be like kind of my role. You see someone like, I could see Youssef or Veer as well, like just people that just can find points quickly, you know? So I think for this specific format and for that specific task, I think I could be pretty good. And I also think Veer could be pretty good. I think we're very similar in that sense.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not obviously as good as Matthias in the trick shots and finding the nicks all the time, but yeah, I agree that I can also, you know, rattle quick points. I don't do it very often, but when I need to do it, I believe that I can do it. And also, just I think my game style is more trying to set up the rally and get a good length first, and then going for it. So yeah, and that way I can, like Spencer said in the interview, I remember that I can tailor my game. Is that what he said? I think I can do that. So that would really suit whichever team I get picked by. So.
It is going to be a learning adjustment, I feel like, these first few matches, because players are going to have to like get in their head. Like, it's a completely different playing style with the power plays too, I think, are so interesting, where one team can only score points for 2 minutes. So if you're on the power play and you have a really strong defensive player, as Timmy and Spencer talked about last week, a guy like Charlie Lee, who I think is immensely talented, and you throw Charlie out there and Charlie's eating up a minute and a half that first rally, even if he loses, then that's the objective, is just staying out there as long as possible, obviously. So I think it's such a fun wrinkle to kind of understand the circumstance of the clock, and it introduces so many different pieces into it. And it really is going to have to, the players are really going to have to think. And I think we're going to see, in addition to skill, there's going to be a lot of smarts, especially early on, where that's going to be a huge factor in a lot of these results. Looking at the draft list, I don't know if you guys have it in front of you or have an idea of who's participating. Is there anyone that stands out to you that you think is going to be really successful in the NSL this year, whether it's because of maybe their age or maybe their skill, and they're kind of like just reaching kind of a peak of where their squash is at right now, and they're ready to kind of break through to the next level. Or it's the format, like you guys, that they're gonna have a lot of success with the NSL style format and the NSL rules. Is there anyone you're kind of keeping your eye on aside from yourselves, as we have the draft coming up next week?
I mean, I think personally, there's like everyone that joined the draft is immensely talented. Like it's you see the list and like there's no player that I wouldn't go with. You know, it's crazy the amount of talent there's out there. Obviously, it's very easy to say to see how Yusuf is gonna be obviously the top guy, I would say, as like a bunch. I think Timmy and Spencer also took him as their number one pick because just he's just absurdly talented at squash. He can win a point at any given time of any given rally of any given situation. But he's also very strong and can last for a while like within rallies, and he's still very strong. So I think his style is just like A1 for this like type of squash. But I think people are not rating highly enough like the players that are like mainly defensive, you know, in a way, you know, because in their normal squash and in normal tournaments, obviously like defensive and attacking is like a mix. But in this specific format, I think it's gonna be a big situation for teams, knowing when to play which player and what to do. And I think that's what's so awesome that the coaches are gonna be involved as well. Because the first time squash is gonna have coaches that will have to get involved and tell who gets in, who gets out. So I think that's a very fun dynamic. So the first person, like there's two people that come to my mind with that, and the first one's obviously Victor. I feel like for someone like me, if I wanted to be on a team, and I feel like I can hit shots and everything, I would want someone to back up those shots with an incredible defensive style. Like I think Victor could play. Victor like barely opens up the court, rarely hits a poor shot. You know, like his decision making is like top tier, and he can last in a rally for days. So it's like I feel like someone like that is like underrated so far, but I think people are gonna start realizing how important that style of play will be in the NSL. And the other one is Timmy. I think Timmy is just able to work his opponents so well, like so ridiculously well. I don't think he gets enough recognition for it. He makes the court so big that he can just get players to get so tired, which can become very effective later in the periods when like players like I don't know, like any other player that he plays and they're just like very tired. They're not gonna be as sharp. So imagine like I'm in a power play, but I'm like super tired after playing Timmy. I may not be able to like rack enough points up, you know? So I think that style of play is also like underrated. But I'm sure he'll get his recognition soon.
Yeah, Virat,
Yeah,
what do you think?
I agree with Matthias. I was also gonna say Victor and Yusuf, you know, just two completely different game styles. Victor, super solid. Doesn't make any mistakes on court. He's so tight on the sidewall. And yeah, he just never opens up the court. He breaks you down physically and mentally, and that game style, like Matthias said, is not appreciated as much. And but then the audience will realize it, that how useful that kind of style is. And Yusuf, of course, Yusuf is one of my one of the most favorite players I like to watch on tour. Like, he's so talented and can do so much with the ball. It's ridiculous. So yeah, two contrasting game styles, but at the highest level. So I'm really excited to see what the two of them can do. And another player I'm really excited to watch is Ramit Tandon. He's one of my best friends on from the Indian team, and we trained together as well with David Palmer. So I'm really excited to watch him play, and hopefully he can be on my team. And he's also got one of the best hands, I think, on tour. He can finish the ball so well. So yeah, these few players are going to be the ones to watch out for.
Yeah, no, Ramit, the way he kind of like buzzes around court, and he's so quick and has such great hands, and I mean that's the kind of style that I think we're looking forward to seeing. But yeah, and Matthias makes a good point, is you need both. You need that balance, and I think that's uber important. And to Victor's credit, is Victor is such a solid straight ball hitter and is so consistent. But also, I think in the last couple months here, he's really opened up his game and made it a little bit more dynamic, where you see him playing the angles a little bit more, and he's playing more boasts than he ever has now, and he's hitting the ball cross court more than he ever has now, and he's starting to kind of feel like, okay, I'm hitting everything straight, I'm hitting it super tight, I can go for days, but people are starting to read me a little bit, and he has added that little bit of deception to his game, and he's opened the court up a little bit more. So I think that for me, that's what makes him
the number one player on my board, and I have Yusuf two right behind him because Yusuf is just, I mean, it's so brilliant attacking and is going to be so helpful to any team that takes him. If I had to press you guys, who would you take number one if you were the owner and you had the number one pick?
I think for me, it would really depend if I'm on that team or not.
Right.
If I'm counting with myself, that I feel like I would love to have Victor on it just because of like how solid he is. Like he would just bring that part of his game that's so important to squash and would just motivate me to like, if he's like, I can just get points for him just for him to like keep it tight, keep it going. Like, as you said, like he's has opened up his game a lot. But the thing about him is like, he rarely takes a bad shot in, you know, like he plays the post when the post is the right shot to play. He's rarely in a bad position on court. That's why he like rarely has like super strong, like tough movements, just because he's so well collected and organized. So I think if I was on the team, he would be my number first pick. If I wasn't on the team, I would probably take Yusuf, just because you need someone that can like create shots out of nowhere. You need someone that is able to win points quickly, that like someone to utilize that 2 minute power play. So that's kind of my thoughts about it.
I think for me it would be as much as I like Victor as a player, I would choose Yusuf because I love that kind of game style. I try to copy that kind of game style into my game, and yeah, just to have someone who can do what I can but at such a high level is just something that I can learn from. And yeah, so I think Yusuf for me would be my top pick.
All right, well, here's the real question now. If you're on the if the two of you guys are on the board and it comes down to a decision between Virtua Trani or Matthias Knudsen, who's getting selected and why?
No, that's a hard question.
Come on, put you on the spot, Matthias.
I feel like
you gotta sell yourself.
Of course I want to sell myself and like this specific scenario. I think it's extremely tight. Obviously, I'm going to say that, but like, I truly mean that. Just because I feel like me and Veer, like we've played like one match we had like on my senior day. Like you could just see very similar like players going for very similar things. I happened to like win that one, but it could have gone either way, you know? So it's like, and I feel like it really depends on the team, you know? I feel like we have slightly different, like some slight differences that would benefit different kinds of teams. So I feel like if you had like built up a more defensive team around it, I think I would be the pick. But I feel like if you want a combination between keeping the court nice and tight, having good lines, but also finding the nick and some points, I would probably take Veer. So I think it's all about who is around. And it's all obviously like easy to say because we are not likely to be selected in the first two rounds. So people who will draft us will probably have an idea on what they want on their team. So I think that I would go with that.
No, I completely agree. Like, yeah, we are pretty similar in game styles, but like he said, that we will not be the ones to be picked in the first two rounds. And the owners know about us. They know how we play, and I hope they know. Yeah, then they can decide what they need. Which best suits their team. Like, if they already have an attacking player, then they can choose someone. Like, they can choose Matthias because I think he's a better defender than me. Or, like, if they have a mix and they want another guy who can, you know, who has a mix as well in that game, they can choose me. I don't know. But, yeah, it all depends on the owners and who they've already selected.
Right. Well, thank you guys for that, because I know I put you on the spot there. So you guys are good sports about it. I appreciate it. But last thing before we
it wasn't as hard as of a discussion, just because we both know we're like so tight, you know. So like, so like level and like, or yeah, like playing style, everything is pretty similar. So it wasn't as hard.
Right.
If it was a big difference, then it would probably have been harder.
Yeah, I know. I felt like I had to ask, but normally I'm not one to try to like get my guests a little bit like edgy or uncomfortable. I leave that up to Sean. Typically, that's his job. Usually, I just do my own thing, and I let Sean get all the hot takes. But I felt since he's not here, I had to ask one for him. But yeah, last thing I wanted to ask you about: the nicknames, because I don't know where these nicknames like come from. Obviously, I mean, Veer's attending an absolutely storied academic institution, definitely not Columbia. Same state. He's in Ithaca, upstate New York, though, which is a little bit different, obviously, with David Palmer. And he's the encyclopedia. So Veer,
Dude,
where does that nickname come from?
I actually have no idea who came up with that. But what a thing that is funny is back in India, I usually when I was a kid, I used to follow squash so closely and I knew everybody's results on the PSA. And whenever anybody would ask me like who won this, what the score was, I would know that. And I remember Saurav Ghosal used to call me the squash encyclopedia, but I don't know how.
Wow.
That's actually a true story. I am not joking. Yes, yeah, so I can relate that to my nickname here, but I don't know who told you guys about it, you know.
Wow, I wonder Timmy
So
and Spencer
yeah, I don't know
or
how
have
they know
gotten
that.
these. That's impressive. If that is, if there's a correlation there, then hats off to Timmy and Spencer for that, because
That
I'm pretty sure they came
that's
up
what
with
I
it.
thought about when I saw the nickname. I was like,
Wow.
wait, what? Like, actually, you know what? Ramit must have told them.
Yeah, maybe.
Could be a chance. Could be a chance because he also knows that.
Very good
That's so
chance.
funny. And then
Yeah, he
Matthias is the
knows
spin
that.
bender, which is a little bit
I'm
more
not surprised.
self-explanatory.
Not surprised.
Yeah, Ramit, shake your fist. But yeah, Matthias is the spin bender, which is a little bit more self-explanatory. It's a good probably encapsulation of his, your play style and whatnot.
Yeah, I think I mean that came up with my college friends because like we were thinking about just like you know when you go through those scenarios and when you're gonna be in the PSA and like there's so many players that I was just like envisioning playing against and stuff. And like obviously my playing style, like I try to hit the topspin, I try to catch people the wrong way, hit the topspin from the back. I'm pretty sure Veer can attest to that when we played. You know, like, you know, yeah. So one of the days they were like, yeah, you should like what do you think your nickname would be? And then they just like we just had a good laugh about it because it's like started I can't even remember what it was, but it was like the octopus just because my like arms are so long and like they just keep coming with random ones until someone I can't remember who it was, but someone said like oh the spin bender and it comes from like Avatar, like the
Yeah,
Avatar
the last
movie.
style bender, yeah.
The last like, style bender, which is with the fire bending with the air bending. So since I wanted to hit so many top spins and I would be like one of the only ones to actually do it like on court and on for like proper matches, he said like, dude, you should call yourself the spin bender. And then I think it just made it to the NSL, so I'm very happy about it.
There you go. Yeah, I love it. Well, yeah, two of the fastest rising stars of the PSA World Tour. Matthias just finished up at Drexel. He's killing it right now. And Veer Chetrani, not from Colombia. He's up in Ithaca with DP and the Cornell Big Red finishing out his final couple weeks. And right after that, that season's over for you, Veer. We're right into NSL action. So it's very exciting, and it's a pleasure to talk to two of the fastest rising stars the game has to offer. So thank you guys for coming out today. I appreciate it.
Say I want fame so bad, it's all I can think about. Yeah, that I'm on a billboard and I'm making my mama proud. Yeah, hosting a meet and greet and I'm signing my signature. Yeah, random people they stopping me, can I get in a pic with you? Oh, hey, oh. I look in the crowd, yeah. And I got fans now, goddamn I got fans now. Oh, hey, oh. They singing out loud now, they singing my words out, they singing my words. Say I just want the fame, yeah, so bad. Thinking about the things that I never.